Today we'll be talking about online PC streaming service Shadow hiking up their prices.
Aiden Chronicles gets pushed back to 2023.
And Sonic makes a surprise appearance in Minecraft.
Welcome to episode 26 of the Retro Gaming Dads Podcast, the weekly podcast for everything retro inspired and retro. And today it's just me and Barry.
Wanting to mix up the intro a little bit there, Phil.
Yeah, I totally didn't mix it up, and I did that on purpose just to keep things fresh.
26 episodes in and finally we messed it up.
I mean, I'm surprised it's not happened sooner, to be honest.
No. So, what have you been up to this week? Been playing anything?
Well, I got home today after pre-downloading and pre-installing Dark Alliance. I mentioned a few podcasts ago, I was looking forward to it. I like my D&D games. I enjoy D&D. I enjoyed the older Dark Alliances. They were good games. Wow, is this game terrible.
That sounds quite a sarcastic
one. Yeah, it is a sarcastic wow. It is terrible.
Oh, dear.
I struggle to find redeeming features about this game. It's... wow. So, I'm going to rant a little bit, and I'm really sorry. Dungeons & Dragons. It's classic high fantasy, where you've got all your mages, you've got your magic users of all different sorts, faith users, fighters, loads of different classes that you can go. This is a game that brings four variations of the same class.
Why? What classes do you have?
Fighter, barbarian, and ranger.
Well, I suppose a ranger is more ranged than the fighters and the barbarian.
Oh no, the ranger uses two swords. One of the fighters uses a bow.
Right.
I could put that aside, you know. At least the classes are somewhat different, or the characters are somewhat different. It's clunky. It plays terribly. The combat is atrocious, and never mind the AI.
Yeah, I did see a quick video clip that you sent me where you basically took two steps back and must have hit like the boundary where the AI was bothered to come at you, and it just stood there while you shot it with a bow.
Yeah, that's... yeah. I've done one level, and the level was a slog. I've recorded the boss fight, or towards the end of the boss fight, and I'll send you just how riveting that boss fight was.
Well, it doesn't sound like you've had a good time with it.
No, really not.
Been playing anything else?
We've been playing a fair bit of New Genesis, haven't we?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. It's a good game. I just wish there was more content to it.
Well, I think the first piece of content actually comes out tomorrow.
Oh.
Although it's only new Roman bosses from what I'm aware.
That's a shame.
It's not until a couple of months down the line that we'll start getting new classes towards like autumn, winter.
Right, fair enough.
Well, I think Brave is the next class, but with Woo-hoo. That we get a level cap increase to level 35.
No, you said the magic word, Braver. I can start pulling out my bows again.
Well, that's not too bad because Braver was my secondary class until Hero was actually available.
It was my main class pretty much the whole way through, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was mine until Hero was released. But hit level cap on that. Rather meager level 20.
Yeah, it's surprising how quick... I mean, we've not really been hammering it. I mean, we've not been playing it that much, have we?
Well, probably more than we think.
Possibly.
Considering when I logged on yesterday, I looked at it and went, oh, this is my backup character, and I've put in 350 hours.
Yeah, but that includes your PS2
Yeah, that does include PSO2. But that only includes the Xbox version of PSO2. Oh my god, what have I done with my life?
What?
I've just realised it only includes the Xbox version of PSO2, not the PC version.
No, it doesn't include the Japanese version, no.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Have you only just dawned on that or something?
Oh my
god. Hey, don't get me wrong, we have played a lot of PSO2. But then again, it's a game that's been out for 8-9 years.
9 years, because their 9th anniversary is coming up.
Yeah, because
there's actually going to be an event within New Genesis. It's going to be one of these, I can't think what they're called, the global events where they say, oh, kill so many of these enemies and that, and you start getting rewards at the end of it, depending on how well everyone collectively did.
That'll be good. It definitely feels like New Genesis is more traditional MMO.
Yeah. Because I think you spend a lot more time with other players. The amount of times I've found like a roaming boss and I'll start attacking it, and before I know it, there's like another five or six players all jumping in.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Also, the fact that it's so open, it's not a case of, you know, start this mission, go here to do this mission. It's run here, do this thing, collect these materials.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot more traditional MMO. It's a decent game, though.
One thing I'm not sure whether I like or not, it's a nice quality of life improvement, but when you complete a mission, it automatically hands it in for you. You don't have to return to the hub. So there's no more doing a mission on a higher class and then switching to one of your lower classes to reap the experience that way.
Yeah, I'm missing that already.
Yeah.
Especially when you get to level cap like you have.
Yeah. Oh, that really hard mission. Kill all the veteran enemies. Oh, I've just got that experience on the character that experience no longer matters to.
Fun times.
That was beneficial.
So, some news this week that you weren't particularly happy with.
Oh, no, not at all. So, as we mentioned in the past, I use an online streaming service called Shadow, which, first of all, I think it's a brilliant service. Gives you a full Windows PC and you can install your games from Steam or wherever else you want to get them from. But you can use it as a Windows 10 machine. So I've used it in the past for doing this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I've tested it out a few times as well. And for the price of it was a decent service.
Well, originally it was £25 a month, which was okay at the time because it gave you a 1080 graphics card, it gives you a 4-core, 8-thread Xeon processor, 12GB of RAM, and 250GB SSD. It was moderate spec.
Yeah, and when you think about it, after the course of a 3-year subscription, you're only just about starting to pay the cost of that PC.
Yes. Now, when I originally signed up maybe 3-4 years ago, those specs were pretty high-end. At the time, the 2080 hadn't released.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward a bit, they're getting a bit long in the tooth. 2080 is out, the 3080 is apparently out, although I've never actually seen one in the shops. And they've reduced the price. So I was paying $12.99 a month. I was in a 1-year commitment with it, but I should say £13 a month for that spec. It would take you a good 3, 4, 5 years to actually pay that off as a machine.
Yeah.
And the great thing was I could access it from practically any device, my mobile, my iPad. Unfortunately, they've just bumped the price up to $29.99 a month, and there's no increase in the spec of the machine.
Yeah, it does. It seems very jarring how much they've upped it by.
So the company had not long been bought by another company. They were in a bit of financial difficulty. They were expanding quicker than they could afford to, so they couldn't afford to buy the hardware at the rate they were expanded. They originally used to have 3 tiers called Boost, Ultra, and Infinite. I'd actually signed up for the Ultra tier, the middle tier, which was £25 a month. I was on the waiting list for about 4 or 5 months, I think. And then they eventually said, listen, do you want to go on the lowest tier for now so you can use it and we'll keep your place in the queue, and when it comes available, we'll upgrade you to Ultra. So I was like, yeah, I've been on that for 18 months. No, enough.
Yeah.
And now I'm finding out that I am going to be charged more. So instead of charged $24.99 for this higher spec, which I think was something like a 2070 graphics card, 0.5 terabyte of storage, 16GB of RAM. Might have been the same processor, I can't quite remember now. Instead, I'm going to be paying an extra £5 on top of that and still get the entry level specs.
Yeah, it's a bit backwards.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that they are actually wanting people to cancel their subscription.
Which sounds bonkers from a business perspective. I mean, sure, the people that stay should hopefully cover the people that leave.
Well, yeah, by doubling the price, if 50% of subscribers leave, they're still going to make the same amount of money, but only have to manage half as much hardware.
Yeah, but it certainly leaves people with a sour taste in the mouth. I mean, the problem is it's a good service. And to be fair, at the cost of the service, it's still reasonable. It's not obviously as reasonable as it was. You're probably talking 2-3 years now for the cost of the PC rather than 3 to 5.
Yeah, I understand the price increase.
Yeah.
The thing that left a sour taste in my mouth was the email that I got about it. And I've only got just over a week to decide whether to have my account cancelled completely or to agree and pay the higher price. If I have no interaction with it, they will just cancel my account.
Yeah, emails like that are never good, I think.
It's not, oh, come October, this is happening. This is come July, this is happening.
Yeah, because I had the same with my mobile phone provider. They sent me an actual physical letter saying the service you're on is being discontinued. You can either upgrade, get less, that's going to cost you more money.
I love that. Upgrade is more expensive for less.
Yeah, exactly. It was terrible. It halved my minutes. I got less texts. I got half the amount of data. I lost loads of stuff.
Yeah.
And it cost more. And then the other option was either upgrade or just go to another provider.
I would have appreciated the email more had it been what I've believed to be a bit more honest.
Yeah.
And gone, we're increasing the price. We need to do this to, you know, secure the future of Shadow. This is what, obviously, you go be getting. This is what we hope to give you in the future. And we hope you'll come along for this journey with us. Instead, it was like, oh, we're making it simpler. We're getting rid of all the tiers. Just one price, no 12-month subscription.
Yeah.
And they're going, oh, and we're bringing these benefits in the future, you know, 4x4x4, color depth, dual monitor support. But they were all features that were coming anyway. In fact, some of them I could use previously as part of like the experimental features.
Yeah.
You know, they're there, but they maybe got a few bugs at the moment. So they're making out that this is a great upgrade. It's not an upgrade in any shape or form.
No, it's really not.
Plus, what happens if I didn't see that email? Say I was away, you know, pretend COVID isn't a thing and we could go on holiday. I come back and they've closed my account. Potentially, I've lost data that I've stored on there. As I said, it's an actual computer, so potentially I may have had actual computer stuff on there, not just games.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it was a small business using this service.
Potentially, yeah, because this was much lower outlay than actually buying a PC. You know, someone might have started, I don't know, say, a video editing business. And instead of going out, shelling out 1,000+ for a machine that was capable of it, they might have jumped on this. They might not have seen the email, might have gone to the junk, missed it, come back and their account's closed.
Yeah. It certainly feels a bit underhanded.
Yeah.
It's not the nicest taste in the mouth either, really, is it?
No. Again, this is the risk with cloud-based solutions.
That is true. That is very true.
So, now that we've got one piece of bad news out the way, I suppose we best get the next piece of bad news out the way.
Yeah. I mean, Ayuden Chronicles 100 Heroes, it looks like a brilliant game, but it is a shame that it's getting delayed.
Yeah. So, it's getting pushed back to 2023.
That's quite a hefty delay.
And it's a very vague 2023. You know, is it January? Is it December? We don't know.
Well, yeah. Though, honestly, I'm not actually against games being delayed if it's for good reason.
No, but I'm just impatient.
I know. But it could be worse. It could come out half finished with all kinds of bugs and problems and plagued with issues like, I don't know, Cyberpunk.
Yeah. I must admit, I am quite excited to play this game. I've never played any of the Suikoden games on the PlayStation.
Yeah, which is a shame because they were brilliant.
I might have to pick them up still.
Well, good luck there.
Sorry, digitally, not physically. I'm not made of money.
I was going to say, I mean, Suikoden's £200-300?
Yeah, I think it was about £250-350 when we had a look.
And that's a game I own.
No. I'm talking like, what was it, £6-7 on the PlayStation store, chucking it on the Vita or something.
Much more reasonable.
But no, it looks really impressive. It has that PlayStation 1 era sort of artwork. However, it also looks combined slightly with games like Octopath Traveler.
Oh, right.
Where it's 3D environments, but with the 2D characters, but the more hand-drawn style characters rather than, you know, quite blatantly sprite-based.
Well, I mean, the Suikoden games had some lovely artwork.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good games all around. I mean, yeah, okay, the
again, I've never played a Suikoden game, but I can recognise it just from the artwork straight away.
Which I have. I completed the first three, and then I think the fourth I just didn't get on with at all.
Is there only four in the series, do you know?
No, I think there's five or six.
Right. I believe the last one released was about 2006-ish.
No, there was one on the PlayStation 4. Yeah.
Well, I say I'm not a fan of the series. Not that I don't like it, just I've never got into it.
You're not a fan, you've not played them. If you played them, I can guarantee you'd be a fan
because I haven't played them.
Yeah, I know. Semantics.
However, they do have a little bit of good news that they have got a spin-off title that is coming next year for us. So
something to whet our appetites.
Yeah, maybe try and tide us over a little bit. So, Ayuden Chronicles Rising will be released in 2022. And I don't know how big of a game this will be, but hopefully it might make that delay to 2023 for the main game a little bit more bearable.
Well, the name of the game's gone out of my head. Bloodstained. Bloodstained did something very similar, where they had a
Curse of the Moon.
Yeah, exactly. Curse of the Moon was released while the main game was delayed. And it was a nice little nod to the original Castlevania-style games.
Well, Mighty No. 9 had something similar with a crossover with Gunvolt, and to be honest, I wish they just left it the Gunvolt.
I mean, the less said about Mighty No. 9, the better, to be honest.
It was a much superior game. But another piece of good news, which, go on, I think you were just about to say.
I was, yeah. This one's coming to Game Pass as well, day one.
Yeah, I think every game just comes to Game Pass now, doesn't it?
Well,
we've even had a PlayStation game come to Game Pass at this point.
And it came to Game Pass day one?
Yeah.
I mean,
and PlayStation Plus members still had to pay full price for it.
Well, yeah. The thing is, though, I think it shows just how well Game Pass is working for these companies, specifically ones that do smaller games, because they're guaranteeing a revenue stream.
Yes.
And that's big in the industry.
In all fairness, I'm playing some games that I wouldn't normally have played.
Well, I'll put it this way. I am certainly glad that Dark Alliance was in Game Pass day one. Because if I paid for it...
Buyer's regret. Or buyer's remorse, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's start going on an upward trend now with the news, being a bit more positive. So our next one actually is another online streaming service, and one that we've talked about a few times on the podcast.
Yeah, we even got to test it.
Yeah, which was both one of the most fun and frustrating experiences I've ever played online. A couple of games of Worms, which Phil still insists that someone cheated.
Oh, 100% someone did.
No, I, the more I think about this, the more I'm thinking that you just didn't detonate the sheep in time and it just detonated.
No, it was too perfect a detonation for it to just be.
That's a fair point. If it was a perfect detonation, it definitely wasn't anything to do with you. But Pi Packer is joining with Games Without Borders to raise money for COVID relief.
That is rather nice.
Yeah. So they are going to have what they are calling flashback challenges. They'll pick a game. You, as a team, need to get the highest score in the game and submit it. And you could actually have a chance to play off against some professional players.
Wow.
So definitely not people like me and Phil.
No, I mean, let's face it, when we played Micromages, we were more likely to kill each other.
Well, you were more likely to kill me, I think, is what you actually meant to say.
You make such a good platform.
Yeah. I don't make that much of a good platform after you've murdered me, though, by stamping on my head.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, but the thing is, we could have both survived. I remember playing New Super Mario Bros. U, where you were planting the platforms on the touchpad. And as I was running through as Mario, and you put the platform like right in front of me and then right above me, so when I tried to jump the pit, I just hit the platform and fell straight down. You were more of a hindrance than you were a benefit on that game.
A co-op deathmatch.
You weren't even controlling the character.
So anyway, Games Without Borders.
Yes. So the first game the Gore will be doing is Micromages, which we just mentioned. Unfortunately for anyone listening to this podcast who isn't a Patreon subscriber, this will have been a day or two before this podcast came out. But they are doing other games. They're also doing Xenocrisis, and I've seen Lupin Gentleman Bomber, which is actually a Pie Packer exclusive game.
Oh, right.
So we'll have to jump on and try and have another go at that. It looks like it's a Bomberman style game.
Well, I'd guess that from the name.
Yeah, this will start the 23rd of June, which is the day after we're actually recording this podcast. And to give you an idea of the benefit this can be, last year, Games Without Borders raised over $10 million.
That is a lot of money for COVID, though.
Yes. I say it goes to a number of charities, but with the ultimate aim of helping out for COVID relief. And while we're talking about numbers, to give you an idea of how big this is, last year, over 460,000 gamers from 141 countries took part in tournaments, which itself was watched by tens of millions of fans from 125 countries.
That is a lot.
I didn't even know there was that many countries.
When you think about it, though, just think how many countries are just in Africa alone.
You mean Africa isn't a country?
No, it's a continent.
I am joking, by the way.
I was worried just for a moment there that you was actually thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean Africa is a country?
Yeah.
Aren't they just states?
Everyone knows all the countries. The USA, Europe, Asia, Australia, and Africa. That's the five countries of the world, yeah?
The seven continents, not...
Yeah, but that's the five countries of the world, yeah?
What about South America? And cold America?
Yeah, cold America. Anyway, enough with the geography lesson. So, another event that is tomorrow. Do you know what it is, Phil?
No.
Get off this podcast. Get off right now. It's blatantly Sonic's 30th anniversary.
Yes, of course, I actually knew that. I was just hoping to see your reaction.
No, I actually don't believe you did.
We literally talked about it just before the podcast.
Tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the North American release of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Woo!
Yeah, so he looks pretty good for a 30-year-old. I wonder if he's having his midlife crisis early like I did when I was turning 30.
What do you reckon we're going to see the next Sonic game? He's going to have a leather jacket, a Harley Davidson.
Yeah, a speedboat, but nowhere to dock it.
No, he's given up on Amy and he's gone for a younger model.
Well, in all fairness, him and Amy have never really been a couple, have they? It's always been very one-sided from Amy's point of view. Although in the later games, in all fairness, it's toned down quite a bit.
So I believe there was some news, though, about Sonic that even you weren't aware of.
Yeah, I only found this out today. But Sonic is gatecrashing Minecraft.
How good does this look?
Well, it's pretty good. I've already downloaded it and been playing it just before we've done this podcast.
Does it actually play like Sonic?
Yeah, it's obviously not as smooth.
Obviously, it's Minecraft.
Loop-de-loops are a little bit...
bumpy?
Yeah, let's say bumpy. That's a polite way to put it.
Well, I mean, let's face it, Sonic's not exactly designed to work on Minecraft.
No.
When I saw it, I was a bit like, what? Huh? It looks like more than a texture pack, though.
Yeah, so you start off in what I think is Tails' workshop, which is kind of like your hub world, and it gives you like a very brief tutorial. Because for a start, pressing sneak does your spin dash.
Okay.
So if you were trying to do that on a thin ledge, not a good place to do it.
I'm just gonna creep over to this. Oh no, I've gone off the edge.
But it looks like there's three stages in it. So there's Green Hill,
right?
Chemical Plant, and I do not know what the other one is.
Okay.
And you play through a stage, either in first person or I chucked it into third person, so it was a bit more usable.
Yeah, first person Sonic sounds like a unique kind of hell.
It's not too bad, because thankfully when you jump, your screen doesn't spin round as he spins in a ball. I'd say I've not had an awful lot of time with it. I only downloaded it maybe like an hour before.
Isn't that pretty much when I sent you the link?
Yeah, pretty much. Unfortunately, I'm trying to do it and my son's like, oh, it's Sonic. Can I have a go? No, go away. Can I have a go? No, go away. Can I have a go? No, go away. But yeah, if anyone's interested in it, it seems pretty good. It's £6.69. If you want to download it in the UK, or it's $7.99 US dollars. I think that was like 1,340 Minecraft coins or whatever the
right
currency they use is. But yeah, it's available to download right now.
I think that's what I might have to pick up for my son, because he'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
So this means the next time that we play Minecraft, you're going to be Sonic.
One thing I will say, they managed to get the feeling of a 3D Sonic game down pretty well, because there's bottomless pits everywhere.
Wouldn't be Sonic without them.
Although it'd be nice if it was. Moving on anyway from Sonic, because I think we'll talk about this a little bit more next week.
Yeah.
Atari VCS. It's getting a couple of reviews coming in on that now, and it's getting a bit of a lukewarm reception, it seems.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, to be honest.
I would have thought, because it had been so long since it was initially announced and it's taken so long to get into fans' hands, I thought there would have been a bit more of a, well, anything about it, to be honest.
Well, yeah, though, it's nice that it comes out the gate with a bunch of games on there. I mean, it's a total of 100 games on there. Which is nice.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a pretty mid to low spec bare bones PC.
Yeah, it's a very low spec PC.
Yeah.
So it's a Ryzen R1606G APU. I was just having a quick look at that. It's a really low powered APU. It looks like even the entry-level iPads, for example, performance-wise, match it.
Yeah, and so you're not going to do any sort of form of gaming on the thing beyond the Atari games that come on it?
No, I think you'd be able to get some, say, like Cuphead or something like that running on it.
But maybe,
I don't
think
you're going to be playing any Demand and 3D titles.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all. And you've got 8GB of RAM on there with 32GB storage, which thankfully the RAM and storage are upgradable.
Right. Oh, so the RAM's upgradable as well.
Yeah.
I knew the storage was.
Yeah, no, it looks like the RAM is as well, which is a mixed blessing. So you may be stuck with a fairly weak processor, but you can at least get a bit of RAM and a bit of extra storage on there.
Yeah.
And it's got 4 USB ports, which is all right.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's all you really need. Modern consoles don't tend to really deviate from that too much.
No.
It's that processor, though. It's a low-powered, I think it's a 25-watt chip and a saw. It's just not going to have the grunt to really do much,
not at all.
Much more beyond basic games.
Yeah, so and it does.
The games that are actually on it, it might just be my generation, but I think that's going back a little bit too far for me to go out and buy a console specifically for them.
Yeah. I mean, it could also be the fact that when we were kids, the first generation that we really properly got into gaming was Mega Drive and SNES.
Well, for me, it was the 8-bit, so it was like the Commodore 64 on the Master System.
Yeah. Though we weren't really... We were, what, 3, 4 when they really came out?
Well, the Commodore, you were, what, maybe like 6 months?
Well, I was
barely born when that originally came out.
Yeah, there is that. Well, so I don't think we really got involved with that gen.
No, the Master System I was much. Heavily involved, and the Commodore 64 I got when I was 5 years at the oldest. I only know that because my brother hadn't been born at that point.
See, we had the Amiga when I was about that age, and we had a ZX Spectrum. But I played the Amiga a bit, but I didn't really play much of the Spectrum.
Yes, see, I've got a Spectrum now, but that's something I've picked up as an adult.
Yeah.
I've gone on and I've played titles, but that was just a curiosity thing. I wouldn't go out and buy a console to play, I don't know, the original Pitfall.
Yeah.
Or E.T.
A lot of these retro consoles sell on nostalgia. And I don't think we have the nostalgia for that generation.
No, I definitely don't, but I'd be curious if someone who was maybe 5, 10 years older than me, do they have the nostalgia for them? Or were the games at that point just too basic to really capture the imagination like the NES and the Master System and the Amiga, Commodore 64, those type of consoles were? Because I feel like that's where graphics got okay. Enough that you could start telling what they are, but the gameplay specifically started getting smooth enough to be enjoyable.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know. I also think gaming wasn't as big as it was a generation or two after.
Yeah, well, as each generation go past, it gets more and more popular.
It's true.
It will be harder now to find someone who isn't a gamer than someone that is. When we were kids and, you know, Master System, Mega Drive sort of generation, the kids' toys, and then the PlayStation and the Saturn and the N64 came out, especially the PlayStation in the UK, where they were installing them into like rave clubs, you know, chuck on Wipeout onto those demo pods. And I'm not saying people were high on drugs at that point, but they probably were. They're looking at Wipeout, like, whoa, you know, and it started getting into young adults.
Yeah.
So, in all fairness, PlayStation probably did do a lot to try and push it from being seen as a toy for children. As the generation goes on and on and on, they do get more widespread appeal.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure everyone knows that one person who buys the latest console just to play even Madden or FIFA every single year. You know, good investment for £450 for your PlayStation 5 or your Xbox Series X to play FIFA.
Yeah, that game that has totally changed over the years.
Yeah. Or talking...
We might be biased there.
Yeah, talking about games that don't tend to change. There's people who have kept hold of the Wii for Just Dance, which, unfortunately, this year, Ubisoft has decided to scrap the Wii and the Wii U version.
Have they?
Yeah, so... You could get Just Dance 2020 on the original Wii still, but 2021's Switch exclusive.
Well, that is shocking. Well, going back to the VCS.
Oh, yeah, we got derailed a bit there.
Just a little. So it can run Netflix, though they are just glorified bookmarks.
In all fairness, I'm sure my Raspberry Pi for £35 or whatever I paid for it could run Netflix pretty fine.
No, you need to do some really funky stuff to get it to run. I know, because I was trying to get Netflix running on my Raspberry Pi. No, not Raspberry Pi, but my Raspberry Pi. What am I about? It would not run on Debian.
But the problem is, though, the price. This isn't a £80-90 mini console like you had with the Nintendo, the SNES, the Mega Drive, I was going to say the PlayStation, but those things were selling for like £15 by the time I picked mine up.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot when you came round. I'd actually picked up a TurboGrafx Mini.
Really? Yeah,
Amazon had them on. Again, that's something, because it was never big over here, I picked one up. I'm going to have to pull out and have a go with it.
Does it have Rondo of Blood on it?
I don't know. I know it's got
if it doesn't, I might actually have to play that. If it does have Rondo Blood on there, I might have to.
I'll have a look.
Yeah, please do, please do.
A few moments later.
Well, I have just gone and checked. It's got Castlevania Rondo of Blood, as nice. Well as three different Bomberman games.
Hey, as long as it's got Rondo of Blood, I'll be happy. Though, the price that they're asking for these things, $299.99 for the basic, or $399.99 for the walnut version, which comes with a wireless controller and joystick.
Yeah, but that joystick as well is a one-button joystick. So I know, it's going to have very limited use.
Yeah, and it's like £60.
I don't know. I'm sure there's people out there that will go mad for this. I'm just wondering as well, was the Ataris really that popular in the UK? I'm trying to think. I don't know anyone who had one. One of these Atari, not like a Atari ST.
Yeah, I really can't think of anyone. Over here, we were largely Spectrum and Amstrad.
And Commodore.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think Atari really took off over here.
No. To be honest, I see Atari more on, like, apparel, like T-shirts and bags and stuff, more than actual gaming stuff.
Here in the UK, we just couldn't do the math.
Yeah. Jaguar. Jaguar, not Jaguar.
I genuinely think it probably didn't do that well over here, because we just were like, you what, mate?
We're like, what the f*** is a Jaguar?
Are you taking the mick out of our prestigious car brand?
But then again, to be honest, quite a lot of consoles never really took off over here. And then some, like the Master System, just kept running, where in the US, Sonic 1 was actually the last Master System game.
Really?
Whereas over here, we got Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic Chaos. We got ports of things like Jurassic Park. Brazil, technically in Brazil, it's still in production.
What?
The Master System's still in production in Brazil.
It's managed to outlive the PS2 and the Mega Drive.
It's managed to outlive everything.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Brazil have really strict import taxes.
Yes.
So TecToy basically got the license to make the Master System and the Mega Drive. And you can pick them up for, I think it's like £40-50, maybe even less than that. And it has like 100 games built into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're still in production. And TecToy themselves even released new games on the Master System. The most notable actually being Street Fighter 2 on the Master System.
Wow.
And the story behind that is they actually shown it to Capcom, but hid the Master System out of sight and gave them a Mega Drive controller. And they were playing it, and they're like, you know, we want to bring this out. And we're like, yeah, it's good, but we do have our own version, which is better than this. And he went, yeah, but it's on the Master System. And apparently they were like, oh, mind blown. They're like, yeah, yeah, you can release it. And I've only played it emulated, but it's competent.
For a Master System game.
Yeah.
You've got to give it its due there.
They also brought Duke Nukem 3D to the Mega Drive.
That sounds terrible.
Again, it's not as bad as... it's better than the Gamecom version, I'll tell you that much.
That doesn't take a lot.
No.
just saying the Gamecom version, you know it's going to be terrible.
That was another console that never really took off. I remember seeing that in Argos, and it was advertised for, like, I'm sure it was $29.99, and you got three games with it. It was just so heavily marked down.
Yeah,
which, again, if I could go back in time, you know, grab the console, Sonic Jam. Well, actually, I have Sonic Jam. Resident Evil 2. They released Resident Evil 2 on the Gamecom.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't look too bad. I don't think it plays particularly well, but I think it plays like significantly better than Sonic Jam. Sonic Jam has Sonic 2, 3, and Knuckles on the cartridge. Except right. Sonic 2 is only Emerald Hill Zone.
Okay.
Except there's four acts to it, and it's got random bosses on it. Like, you fight the chemical plant boss in the middle of Emerald Hill Zone.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Sonic 3 is just Angel Island Zone, and unless you play as Tails, you actually can't even complete the first act.
Right.
Do you know on the Mega Drive version where you run and you run up the inside of that giant tree?
Yeah,
it's broke. You can't run up it.
Wow.
Sonic will get like partway up, but then just glitch and fall through, but then you can't even get that partway up. So unless you Tails and you fly to the top, that's it, it's done. And I don't even think I have even tried Sonic and Knuckles.
Sounds like it'd probably be just as broken.
Yeah. One thing that made me laugh, though, is when you go into the special stages, which are absolute garbage because of the frame rate. So trying to do the blue sphere game, except when it pops up, because it's black and white, goes, collect the black spheres.
Oh, wow.
So they put some effort into it, at least.
Yeah. You have to try and see which shade's different so you don't pick up the wrong spheres and then the actual thing.
In all fairness, on an emulator, you can tell, but from what I've seen of the actual screen, you have no chance. Do you remember the original Game Boy games where you play like Super Mario Land and you jump and there's like this smear behind Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like that, but 10 times worse.
Oh, wow. That just sounds terrible. Well, I think that's everything we had for today, isn't it?
Yeah, went off on a few tangents there.
That's normal. Well, that's it for this episode. If you'd like to see more information on anything mentioned during this podcast, you can visit us at retrogamingdads.co.uk. You can also support the podcast and get ad-free episodes at patreon.com/retrogamingdads. We've been the Retro Gaming Dads, and we'll see you next week.
So, thanks. I don't know what I was going to say, to be honest.
We have another finisher there.
Yeah. Tasmanian Devil. Nah, that'll do.
Yeah.